Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Podcast by Jonathan Wells, Moving the Goalpost. Folks, this is one of the most exciting games in Super Bowl history. In case you just tuned in, here's what's happening. With only 8 seconds to go, the Buffalo Bills are trailing the New York Giants 20-19. But in the past 2 minutes, Bills quarterback Jim Kelly has moved his team to the Giants' 29-yard line, setting up kicker Scott Norwood for a field goal attempt. If Norwood makes it, the Buffalo Bills will win 22-20. Now that's a simulated broadcast from 1991. Watched by tens of thousands in Tampa Stadium and millions more on TV, the Buffalo Bills are lining up for what will probably be their last play of the game. Okay, there's the snap and the kick. The ball is going, but it's drifting wide to the right. Wait a minute. Some Bills players have pulled up the goalpost and they're moving it over. Just in time. Norwood's kick sails through the uprights. The Buffalo Bills win Super Bowl 25. Of course, that's not what really happened in 1991. Norwood missed his field goal and the Giants won the game. Football is played with rules and referees and fixed goalposts. Darwinism, unlike football, has only one rule, survival of the fittest. The fittest are those who survive, and Darwinists are determined to survive at all costs, even if it means moving the goalposts. In the June 2009 issue of Scientific American, Darwinist Steve Mirsky does just that. The central claim of Darwin's Origin of Species was that an unguided process of natural selection acting on minor variations is sufficient to produce new species, which is technically called speciation, new organs, and new body plans. Indeed, every feature of every living thing, at least after the origin of life. But Darwin had no evidence for natural selection. All he could offer were what he called one or two imaginary illustrations. Instead, Darwin's argument, which by the way relied heavily on theology, also relied on an analogy with artificial selection. Domestic breeders had been showing for centuries that existing species can be modified, sometimes dramatically, by selecting only individuals with desired variations. Darwin simply argued that such a process, if extended over geological time, could accomplish much more. But despite the title of his book, Darwin never solved the origin of species. Neither have his followers. In 1997, evolutionary biologist Keith Stewart Thompson wrote, quote, "A matter of unfinished business for biologists is the identification of evolution's smoking gun. And the smoking gun of evolution is speciation, not local adaptation and differentiation of populations." End of quote. As a biologist, I have written on this subject. In the June 2009 issue of Scientific American, Mirsky quotes me, or I should say distorts what I have to say. Here's what Mirsky wrote. "Creationists argue that speciation has never been seen. Here's part of a December 31st, 2008 posting by Jonathan Wells on the website of the antithetically named Discovery Institute." And here Mirsky quotes me. "Darwinism depends on the splitting of one species into two, which then diverge and split and diverge and split over and over again to produce the branching tree pattern required by Darwin's theory. And this sort of speciation has never been observed." End of quote from me, end of quote from Mirsky. Of course, Mirsky actually distorted what I had to say because I didn't argue that speciation has never been seen, only that a certain sort of speciation has never been seen. What I wrote in 2008 was this: "The best way to find evolution's smoking gun would be to observe speciation in action. There actually are some confirmed cases of observed speciation in plants, all of them due to an increase in the number of chromosomes, or polyploidy. But observed cases of speciation by polyploidy are limited to flowering plants, and polyploidy does not produce the major changes required for Darwinian evolution. Darwinism depends on the splitting of one species into two, which then diverge and split and diverge and split over and over again to produce the branching tree pattern required by Darwin's theory. And this sort of speciation has never been observed. That's the end of the quote from me. Now, someone playing by the rules of science who wants to counter my statement that the sort of speciation required for Darwinian evolution has never been observed would presumably either A, present evidence that it has been observed, or B, show why such evidence cannot be found. Though, of course, a theory for which evidence cannot be found is of dubious scientific value. Mirsky chooses neither option. Instead, he chooses not to play by the rules of science, which of course include logic and clear definition. In March 2009, in a symposium co-sponsored by Scientific American aboard a cruise ship in the Caribbean, Mirsky listened to a lecture by University of Chicago Darwinist Jerry A. Coyne. According to Mirsky, as Darwin did before him, Coyne noted that the development of new breeds through artificial selection is a good model for the evolution of new species by natural selection. Coyne then offered a comment about dog breeds, also found in his book, Why Evolution is True. And this is a quote from Coyne. If somehow the recognized breeds existed only as fossils, paleontologists would consider them not one species, but many. Certainly more than the 36 species of wild dogs that live in nature today. End of quote from Coyne. Mirsky continues to argue as follows. Let's simply say that dog breeds are different species. Take two that Coyne highlights for their differences, the 180-pound English Mastiff and the 2-pound Chihuahua. They're both considered members of Canis lupus familiaris, and in principle, artificial insemination could produce some sort of mix or possibly an exploding chihuahua. But face it, the only shot a male chihuahua has with a female mastiff involves rock climbing or spelunking equipment. This is still Mirsky now. Biologists clearly continue to include the two types of dogs within the same species out of modesty. But with creationists fighting evolution education throughout the country, the time calls for bold action. Let's reassign the trembling, bug-eyed chihuahua to its own species. Voila! Humans have observed speciation. That's the end of Mirsky's comment. Well, creationists fighting evolution education throughout the country, that's a little bit warped because, in fact, what Discovery Institute wants is merely to have evolution and the evidence for and against it taught honestly. Clearly, Mirsky is not interested in that. He wants to redefine species to include breeds of dogs that biologists have always considered to be members of the same species. Voila, indeed. If we cannot find evidence for the origin of new species, let's just call dog breeds separate species. In other words, if Darwinism is in danger of losing, let's just move the goalpost.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute, 2008. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.